It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. I just want you to know that we are in our final day of our spring member drive, and your gift now supports the morning show. It supports the Larry Mueller Show. It supports our sister show, Central Time. Hey, Rob Ferret, and all the other WPR programs you rely on today and every day. Join in with your gift now. Here is that number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org, and thank you for your support. Right now, we're talking about our state parks. Earlier this month, several parks reported record high attendance as people just tried to enjoy nature during the pandemic. Due to the crowds, though, Governor Evers ordered the DNR to close dozens of state parks and forests, recreational areas, but there are still dozens open that are outside the southern third of our state. So what precautions are you taking as you go out for hikes and bike rides? From Amnicon Falls to Wildcat Mountain, where are your favorite state park trails? What do you want to know about which ones are open? What questions do you have about hiking alone? Let's talk. We're at 800-642-1234. Missy Van Landit is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. It's part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Missy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Good morning.
Well, take us back a week. Why did Governor Evers decide to close 40 of the state parks and recreation areas? What was behind that?
You know, there was a number of things behind that. You know, most importantly, you know, there was considerable overcrowding going on that was really, you know, contributing potentially to the spread of COVID-19. So many of our properties in the southern part of the state were seeing attendance that would be typical of a summer month within the first few days of the month. So, you know, we were seeing 4 and 5 times normal visitation for this time of year. Additionally, there was an incredible amount of vandalism and litter and theft going on at some of the properties and just general overall lack of social distancing. So in addition to that, people were parking everywhere, parking in prairies, and damaging the natural resource. So there was a number of things really contributing to that closure.
And the closures are really concentrated in the southern part of Wisconsin. Why is that?
You know, those were the properties that were seeing all of those type of things. So the northern properties, for whatever reason, whether that's further away from urban areas or because they still have snow in many cases, they're still seeing an increase in attendance, but really not as considerable as they are in the southern part of the state. But, you know, the southern part of the state is really where the population centers are. So that makes the most sense. Where the people are, they're going to go to those state parks.
How will the DNR, approach the vandalism and, you know, amend the things that have been marred?
You know, the staff are still hard at work, even at those closed properties. They're doing a number of things that are, you know, what the DNR considers essential work. So caring for that natural resource, putting protective measures in. We're doing things like monitoring all of our facilities and infrastructure, and then making sure that if anyone does try to come to those closed properties, that they've got the right information on other places that they can go. So we're really repairing trails, repairing parking lots, picking up litter, repairing any facilities that were damaged and things like that right now.
Okay, so how can we responsibly enjoy the parks that do remain open and the trails and the forests? Because there's a lot out there.
There is. There's a ton of properties out there. And I know, you know, 40 sounds like a lot, but there's so many out there. I think the best thing to do is just know before you go, you know, check out our webpage. There's a number of things, you know, obviously maintaining that social distance and not traveling in groups is huge. Making sure that people are staying within their community. And we can touch more on that. I've got a lot more to say about that, but staying close to home and recognizing that even while there is a fee waiver, that all the rules still apply. So maintaining your dog on a leash, cleaning up after yourself, and most importantly, packing in and packing out. So if you bring some granola bars and water bottles, please take that trash home with you.
We're talking with Missy Van Landit from the state DNR, and you can join in. Have you been to a state park lately? What was the scene like? How are you working to keep your local state park clean and running smoothly as there is an uptick in visitors? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Missy, as you mentioned there, taking your trash out with you, a lot of these parks don't have recycling bins or garbage cans. Is that right?
That is. You know, in many cases, the trash and recycling is typically in the campgrounds, and that's only some of them. So we typically, that's a national trend. That's what national parks use in many cases. Pack in, pack out is just, if you go out to parks, that's generally the rule. So that still applies. And I think, you know, one of the nice things is that this is a time when parks are open and maybe people have a little bit more time on their hands. So they're going out, and maybe a lot of people are new to parks and don't know that. So if we can spread the word and get people to whatever they pack in to take home with them. In many cases too, folks are asking how can they help, and you know, they can bring an extra bag. And if they've got a pair of gloves, a pair of gardening gloves or work gloves, maybe they can take a bag and pick up trash along their hike too.
And you also have a tip for bring your own hand sanitizer and go to the bathroom beforehand.
Exactly. That gets back to staying local. You know, it's when you get into some of the vault toilets and restrooms, those are also confined spaces where many people cannot maintain that social distancing. So while it is a nice service, if you're maintaining close to home, hopefully you can use the restroom before you go, visit somewhere, a property that's close to your home, and then return home if you need to. But also bringing that hand sanitizer, believe it or not, folks have been stealing that, so we've not been able to keep up as well as we would like. But so bring your own hand sanitizer. I think folks forget that there still are railings and maps and, you know, other areas that you touch, so it's always just good to keep it with you if you can.
Well, let's start our tour here in the northwest part of our state, Polk County. There we can find the oldest state park, Interstate Park, very popular destination for camping. Is camping something that people can do safely right now?
You know, all of our camping is closed through April 30th, and we will be assessing a potential extension there with the extension of the Safer at Home order. So we do not have any camping open available right now, but people can book camping for after June 1st. So we're encouraging folks to, you know, make summer plans and book their camping now for all of our state parks for after June 1st.
At Brule River State Forest, what is unique about visiting our state forests, and what can you do there?
You know, I think folks forget about state forests, or maybe they think that they're the same as the parks, which is good. But forests are a really neat way to explore the outdoors right now, especially the Brule is a great location, having the river there. And you're able to spread out a little bit more in forests. The trails tend to be more numerous, more spread out, a little bit longer, and they're in more remote areas. And so the forests are a really neat way to explore the outdoors and be a little bit more alone and social distance better.
Is there
the
some
Brule
good...
has a...
Yeah, oh, go,
oh,
ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to
yeah,
just
the Brule
say...
has the number... Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, as we're on our trails here, some trails can be narrow, others are very wide. Is there good etiquette that you found? Do you jump off the trail for someone else when they want to pass? How do you do that?
That's a really good point. You know, there's a lot of trails that are maybe too narrow. And so realizing that before you go, and if you see a lot of people on there, pick somewhere else to go. But that's exactly right. I've been out hiking with my family to a number of local places where I live. And that is exactly the etiquette. I think people are really good about it, stepping off of the trail, shortening the leash on your pet if you have one, and just giving your fellow visitor some space.
We're talking state park trails, getting out in the 35 state park trails that are still open right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. DNR's Missy Van Landit is helping us out. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. How are you working to keep your local state park clean? Are you picking up litter as you go on your trails? What do you want to know about how the DNR is promoting COVID-19 safety at the parks? Do you have ideas or how to safely enjoy the trails? What is your etiquette? Be part of this 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with the DNR's Missy Van Landit here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention that it is the final day of our spring member drive. We've reduced this drive to prioritize the content you need in this time. So that's why your support of the programs you value is so important today. Give at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. So right now we're getting outside, enjoying our state parks that are open, learning how to be on these special lands safely during the pandemic. And to help minimize the transmission of COVID-19 at parks, the DNR waived fees, closed state park offices, visitor centers, and non-essential buildings. Have you been to a park lately? What was the scene like? Did some of the groups of people you were with know how to be on the trail safely? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We have the DNR's Missy Van Landit, who is getting us up to speed. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. So, Missy, I know I stepped in there, but you were going to say some more cool things about the Brule River State Forest and before I interrupted you.
Yeah, you know, the Brule has a number of beautiful trails and a number of different access points to the Brule River. So I think we're going to see potentially an increase in use for the Brule, which we typically do this time of year as folks safely get out and start kayaking and fishing. So just a wonderful place in the northern part of the state that's got incredible opportunities to see the river, and it also headwaters at Lake Superior. So just a really neat, wonderful property to explore and lots of different opportunity to be out there by yourself or with your family where you won't run into others.
How can we fish safely? Because I think of people clustered in a boat.
You know, they're recommending not more than two people in a boat, so you can maintain that 6 foot distance. And also same with shore fishing. And so to try to remain that 6+ feet between you and your fellow fisher people that are outside doing that activity. So it's the same with anything else, and really just to be safe and mindful of your fellow visitors and what activities they're doing.
Well, speaking of fishing, there's the Flambeau River State Forest in Sawyer County, which has seems like a really great place for fishing.
They do. You know, all those Northwoods properties are just really neat little hidden gems where you can get out and do some fishing, do some hiking, kayaking, all of that neat stuff, different fishing pier opportunities and areas. So all of those neat little rivers, the Wild Rivers properties, Flambeau River, Turtle River, and all of those different areas are just such neat little gems to get out to this time of year.
What are some of your favorite hiking spots, your most memorable hikes in the northern part of the state?
Wow, you know, I really like going to Rib Mountain. there in just outside of Wausau. It is incredible to me when you can be so close to an urban area and then you can be within minutes, you can disappear into the forest. They've got some really neat different landscapes at Rib Mountain, and you can get completely lost in there. And there's incredible underneath the mountain, obviously, there's rock formation. So you're going through the forest and then you're climbing over rocks. And so I really love going to Rib Mountain. And, you know, there's so many. I've hiked it every property up there. But Rib Mountain is one of my favorite just because you can get so lost so quickly for being close to an urban area.
That is so cool. Now, Door County is a bit of an exception here. It's so popular, but it sounds like they're recommending people try to keep a distance from the state parks in that county. What's going on there?
You know, I think as there's several northern counties that have very low instances of COVID-19 or none. And so there's many, but in addition to Door County and some of the northern counties where they're tourism destinations, they're asking their second home residents to not come and asking folks to, again, stay within their community. I think a big part of that from what I've read and what I've talked to some of our partners there is that they don't necessarily have the healthcare infrastructure to support an influx of visitation. Smaller hospitals and clinics, fewer gas stations and grocery stores. And so they're doing their part in limiting the spread of COVID-19 by asking folks to stay close to their homes, stay in their community, and come and visit them when we can get back to normal.
We're talking with Missy Van Landit. She's External Relations Chief with the DNR Park and Rec Management Program. Are you a turkey hunter, perchance? What spots do you plan to travel to this spring? And what are some of your favorite parks, forests, or trails to visit with your family? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. You mentioned Rib Mountain there. West of Door County is the Mountain Bay State Trail. That's, I guess, a rail trail. Is that right?
It is. And it's, you know, it lives up to its name when you really think about it. It goes from from Marathon County in Wausau or the mountain to the bay, all the way to Green Bay. So it's kind of a really neat trail. It spans over three counties from Marathon County, Shawnee County, and into Brown County. And I have biked and visited probably about half of that trail. Really neat, nice wide trail. And rail trails in general are very good for that. And the nice thing is you can get, you know, 10, 15 miles outside of Wausau, 10, 15 miles outside of Shawnee, 10, 15 miles outside of Green Bay, and have really, really neat, fun experience either hiking or biking on that trail.
Certainly, wider trails are really helpful right now as well. So we have to keep bearing that in mind, is how wide is that trail when we're out there doing the biking or the hiking?
Exactly. You know, many of our linear rail trails, such as Mountain Bay, and we have about 43 trails that are open right now, those tend to be wider, anywhere from 10 to 12 feet. So very good for passing, whether you're on a bike or hiking. And then many of the trails at our properties, too, anywhere from 4 to 6 feet wide. And that's why that's important to step off the trail. We do have, though, many miles of trail that are more rustic, that may be only 2 to 3 feet wide. So that's incredibly important to know where you're going, how busy it might be, and how you can distance yourself from others.
This is one that I think is so cool, the one that circles Stevens Point, the Green Circle State Trail. Do you like that one?
You know, that one's a really neat one. I was actually just speaking with someone. That one's a local trail. That's a county and municipal connection.
Okay.
Some of our trails go off of that one, but I've been on that one too. As someone who works all across the state, I tend to end up in Stevens Point quite a bit. So I've definitely hiked and run on that trail. And they're actually in the process of looking at additional expansions to that. So pretty neat there. It's a beautiful trail. It's a nice wide trail in many locations. And I think folks miss the fact that there's another aspect to Stevens Point, especially if you're there for business. There's great opportunities to get outside and enjoy fresh air there.
Okay, so it is spring turkey season. Do the property closures affect hunting?
They do not. So actually, the properties that are closed are still open for spring turkey hunting. They're open for the first three periods, which go through May 5th. And there's more information on that on the state parks. But you can still access the closed properties as well as the open properties for both the youth hunt, which is past, and then the turkey periods, which are April 15th through May 5th.
And for these turkey periods, the same permitting process applies. You still need a permit.
Yes, you do. Yep. And all that information can be found on the DNR webpage.
So as, you know, it starts to get warmer, people want to be outdoors and are looking to fish. What are some of the more popular places in the state to cast a line, to go fishing?
You know, with so many lakes that we have, you know, I think one of the things for folks to remember is that our boat landings are still open. You know, the only boat landings that are closed are the ones that are within those closed state parks. So we have thousands of boat landings across the state where folks can either shore fish or they can get out. So, you know, I think just, you know, whether it's Lake Winnebago or other large lakes or even small lakes within your community, there's so many really neat places where people can get out. And that's another opportunity and another recreation part that's opening. So I think with so many people being out and about, hiking and snowshoeing, skiing is what we've been able to do the last month, depending on where you are. And the warmer the weather is, the more things that you can do, like fishing, hunting, kayaking, hiking, and even foraging for edibles. That's still available right now at properties without a permit.
Oh, wow. So what might we be able to forage for right now at some of the state parks?
You know, you can forage for edible seeds and berries as well as mushrooms, and many people have done that. I think we'll have to wait a little bit until those northern properties. Typically, you know, folks are looking for morel mushrooms in the spring.
Yes,
and edible berries as they come out. So we'll just have to wait a little bit longer and do that on the open properties when the snow melts. But you can still do that, and there's no permit required.
And is that something that is popular year after year? Do you find that groups like to go out and do that?
Definitely. And I've been out on trails, you know, actually the El Rey Sparta is a really good trail to find morel mushrooms on. I've been out there and tried a number of times specifically on that trail, and I always miss out because people get there first.
Well, you actually probably made it worse because you just disclosed where you might find that.
Yep.
You know, we both have kids. Are there some shorter hikes that you'd recommend for, you know, we have little hikers who can't go that far?
You know, I think kids, they're a little bit more surprising than we think. They are out and about. What they want to do is get out and get dirty. So every property, a number of different properties, have locations with shorter trails. There should be maps and guides available when you get to those properties to see that. You can also check out trail maps online before you go, and our webpage is mobile friendly, so you can see that when you get there. You know, my kids are almost 6 and 8, and they've been hiking since I could carry them in backpacks. And generally, I like to keep our hikes anywhere from 1 to 3 miles. But I think the key for parents is really bringing some of that adventure with you. I like to bring a backpack and let them explore, like, oh, let's get this stick or this rock and we can explore things. And also bring snacks and water with you for kids. That keeps them going a little bit longer so that everybody can enjoy a nice medium-sized hike.
Missy Van Landit is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program at the DNR. Taking your questions about state parks that are open around the state, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And here's the deal. You turn to WPR every day knowing you can find connection and companionship. The programs you count on are powered by listeners like you. We are in our final day of our spring member drive, and we wanted to offer a thank you gift that could be a source of comfort and delight right now. So we brought back a listener favorite. That's our WPR socks. And for yours, when you give $10 a month or more, these socks will be a warm reminder of the connection we share and your support for the programs you enjoy. So give now. Here is that number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much. Right now, we're exploring state parks that remain open to help us get a dose of fresh air during these difficult times. We're thinking about the Glacial Drumlin State Trail. It's 52 miles, the Pecatonica State Trail that follows the old Milwaukee Railroad corridor, the Wild Goose State Trail. Where do you like to hike to clear your mind? Are you planning on heading to a state park this weekend? What's on your mind as you make your plans? Ask away, 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is taking us places that are feasible right now. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. So, Missy, Pete emailed us to ask, the fact that fees for state parks are waived has been well publicized, Pete says, but Pete is unclear whether the fee for state trails has been waived as well.
For right now, the state trail pass has also been waived. But at a point in which we either reopen these parks or the pandemic tends to cease, fees will be required again. So the trail pass and the admission pass will not be free for the rest of the year. So right now you can actually go a couple of different places to buy your admission pass. You can call our Devil's Lake office, which is 608-356-8301, and you can order your stickers and passes online or over the phone with a credit card, or you can go to fwsp.org and you can order your passes online.
Well, let's go next to the Pecatonica State Trail that passes through the southwestern part of the state. Can you tell us about this trail?
Yeah, you know, this is a really neat trail, fairly new in some areas of the development. And it's a really neat way to explore the southwest part of the state coming out of Platteville. And what many people don't know is there's actually in portions of that, there is a parallel trail called the Mound View Trail that is for ATV, both of those parallel each other, one for ATV use and one for hiking and biking. So kind of a neat opportunity where multiple uses can be in the same corridor, but on different trails.
And ATV riding still okay right now at these state parks that are open and allow it?
On the state, yes, for sure. The state parks that are open and allow it, and many of our rail trails, especially in the north, do allow ATV use. And those have different seasons. Some of them are closed until a particular time in the spring, just due to the spring melt and things. So you can check for those specific dates if they exist online. But yes, ATV riding is still open on the rail trails and still open where the state parks are open.
Well, let's bring in Scott now, joining us from Langlade. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hey there. What's your question?
My question is, I know like the state boat landings on the lakes up north up here are open, but I heard that the National Forest closed all their landings, so you can't launch your boat on any of the public lakes of the state on National Forest.
That is true. So the Shawmigan National Forest did close down most of their recreation opportunities to slow the spread of COVID-19. So they did close multiple boat landings, trails, access points, camping, lookouts, you name it. So right now what is open there is you can still drive through the forest and you can hike and bike on the forest roads, but they did close down everything else in the Shawmigan National Forest.
Scott, are you getting out there this weekend at all?
I live up here.
Oh, you do. How has it been in terms of recreation?
Pretty decent, you know. It's kind of, Connell County is next to us, so it's like they closed their boat landings, and now I heard like there's quite a few boat landings that are in the National Forest that are like, you know, access roads and have, so it's like curious, you know, if they could tax them, but apparently we can't, but like turkey hunting and stuff is pretty good.
Well, Scott, have a good weekend. Thank you so much for calling. Stay well. Susan from La Crosse wants to know, Missy, if any parts of the Ice Age Trail are open.
You know, all of the Ice Age Trail is actually open. And, you know, they run 1,500 miles across the state. So an incredible amount of miles of trail that you can jump on. The Ice Age Trail is a great opportunity to get outside and hike with so many going through your local community. The only areas that are closed are the, if there's parking lots, which I think there's, I want to say about 7 that exist within the closed park areas, the parking lots are closed, but the trail is not. So if you are through hiking or you're making, you know, you're going out and back and you've started from somewhere where you can park and that is open, the trail itself is open through the closed properties, but the parking areas are closed.
Okay, so you just have to plan on where you're gonna be able to access the trail to make sure that you're able to park and get in on that trail. What about the 400 State Trail?
Yep, that one's open as well. All of our rail trails are open. We, you know, there may be sections of them that are closed for maintenance or closed because of washout, but right now all of our rail trails are open, including the 400 Trail.
Have you had any issues with spring flooding yet?
We have in a few cases. There are some sections of the Chippewa River State Trail that are closed, and that's typical for this time of year. And then we do have an area of the Wild River State Trail in northern Douglas County up by Superior. That one's actually also closed for some railroad work that they're doing adjacent to the trail. But we were starting to see that. You know, I think one of the things to remind folks if they're out on a rail trail, if it's squishy beneath your feet, go somewhere else. So that those impacts from both your feet and your bike, if a trail, especially a rail trail, is really squishy, those are eventually going to dry up like a mold. And so you'll see those footprints dry and those bike tracks dry, and that makes for an unpleasant experience later in the spring. So if areas are wet, try to find somewhere else to go hiking.
We have the DNR's Missy Van Landit as our guide, taking us around the state for parks, forests, trails, what to visit, what's open. You can join in. What is your favorite state park or forest or trail to visit as the weather warms up? What makes it so special? Are you planning a trip to one of them this weekend and want to know what's open? Join in with 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So, Missy, the Black River State Forest, still open in Jackson County. That's where the elk were released in recent years. And can you see elk there at that state forest?
You can from time to time, I think, if you're lucky. You know, the elk tend to move throughout the state, and you can find more information on our webpage about that, too, and where they're migrating. But yeah, you can if you're out and about. You know, the Black has a lot of different types of trails. They've got gorgeous hiking trails. I think people know the Black River State Forest for ATV trails. It's a very popular spot to go riding, but they do have a number of hiking trails as well and some bike trails.
And you like the Rocha Cree State Park, I know, in Adams County. What makes that special?
You know, many people go there and they think about climbing the stairs and getting a view. The stairs are actually closed right now because of confined space and not being able to pass. But they do have a really beautiful number of other trails that you can hike, and they have the hieroglyphics there as well. So a lot of other trails where you can get in and hike, and it's a kind of a hidden gem, really, if you can get in and find those trails there. So I would still, if that's in your community, I would encourage you to go check it out, because there's just more to that property than going up the stairs and getting the views.
And so if a state park that is not open and you're not in a community where there is a state park that's open right now, thinking more of the Milwaukee-Madison area, what would you suggest to people to be able to still get out and enjoy our natural areas in Wisconsin?
You know, there are tons of wildlife areas, natural areas, fishery areas, and forests and things that are still open, as well as your local municipal properties. You know, you can go onto the DNR webpage and you can type in explore outdoors, and it will bring you to a place where you can actually search your county and search within a certain number of miles of your home. And it will give you all of the state public lands that are open in that area. So I don't know the number less the amount that's closed. But for example, if you go to and search Dane County properties, there are actually 48 state properties within Dane County alone. Then you take out the closed state parks out of that. But still, there are 48 other public lands that are state owned within just Dane County. So going to that dnr.wi.gov and then type in explore outdoors, you can search all state lands within 25 and 50 miles of your home.
Oh, wow. That's a great tool. Let's bring in another call now. James is joining us from Green Bay this morning. Hi, James.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. With the COVID virus going around, all the indoor gun ranges are closed, and I completely understand why. But I was wondering if there were any outdoor places to sight in a deer rifle open around the Green Bay area.
Oh, yeah. That's not my bailiwick. But, you know, many of our shooting ranges are also closed, and I'm not sure about what may be open on other lands around Green Bay. You can certainly check out our webpage or the local county webpage, and they may be able to give you additional ones. That's a really good question, but unfortunately not particular in my expertise for today.
James, good luck. Thank you for calling in. Well, let's talk about the Stewart Tunnel, which is at the Badger State Trail that is 40 miles between Madison and the Wisconsin-Illinois border. What's so cool about that tunnel?
You know, that tunnel is an original rail tunnel. It's been rebuilt, I believe, maybe one time with a number of different repairs. It's an incredibly beautiful tunnel. And actually, right now, we did experience, which is common in spring and fall, but we did experience some cracking and some of the stone on the inside fell. So we're in the process of working through a project to get that repaired. So on the Badger Trail, you can get up to the tunnel on both ends and you can see inside the tunnel, and then, but you do have to reroute around it. I've been to that one as well as some of the tunnels on the Elroy Sparta Trail. So if you're looking for a similar experience to be able to travel through a tunnel, I would go to the Elroy Sparta State Trail because you can still go through those. But what's really neat about it and scary is that when you get into them, you actually can't see the other side. Mm. And so we do recommend that you walk your bike and that you use the light on your phone or a light on your bike as you're going through those tunnels.
Talking with the DNR is Missy Van Landit. We'll be back in just a moment. More Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You count on WPR for high-quality news and conversations, music that keeps you informed and connected. During the last day of our spring member drive, we have you and your feet covered. Support the programs you rely on and ask for your cozy WPR socks when you give $10 a month. And give at this number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Right now, we're touring state parks that remain open for safe social distancing excursions. Last week, Governor Evers ordered the closure of dozens of properties after parks were seeing really record attendance and vandalism. The DNR has made parks free to help reduce the spread of COVID-19 by preventing visitors from gathering at payment kiosks. So what do you want to know about whether your favorite state park is viable right now? We're at 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit stays with us. So, Missy, is it possible that more parks and forest recreation areas could be closed in the future if people don't take the proper precautions?
You know, absolutely. If we start to see in the open properties the considerable elements that we saw in the South with the overcrowding, lack of social distancing, vandalism and theft, and damage to the natural resource, we'll absolutely have to close additional properties. You know, I'm really hoping that we don't get to that point, and I'm hoping that, you know, as soon as we possibly can, we begin to open things back up. But certainly, if those things start to occur in those northern properties, we may have to close those as well.
How is the DNR doing with social distancing? How are your folks working from home? How is that going?
Yeah, you know, I am working from home, but many of our state park employees are actually still working at the properties, and they're practicing social distancing, like not traveling in the vehicle with one another, remaining 6 feet apart, doing more independent work. There's still, you know, the plants keep growing, the natural resource still needs protection. So there is between our program as well as wildlife and fish and natural heritage, there's an incredible amount of essential work out there just to protect and maintain the resource. So the field folks are still out there doing a number of different essential activities and social distancing. And then the rest of the agency employees are, for the most part, working from home and able to maintain those business services from home as best we can.
Well, let's take another call now. Roberta is joining us from Barneveld. Hi, Roberta.
Hi. I just wanted to ask about Blue Mountain State Park and Governor Dodge State Park. Are they open? When will they be open again?
You know, unfortunately, those are both closed. They're in that section of the 38 closed properties. And, you know, we're hoping that we're continuing to monitor everything and monitor, you know, obviously the governor extended the order, but continuing to monitor and figure out ways that we could potentially get the parks open again as quickly as possible. But we are going to be very cautious and take a lot of different things into consideration. I think the thing for everyone to remember, though, is that we will be open again, maybe not as a light switch, maybe as a dimmer switch, but we will be open again. And the trails are open, a number of other areas are, but we will be open again, and we're trying to keep focused on that.
Roberta, thank you so much for calling in. And so where should we really look for updates? Because I know this is a really changing situation. A park that's open today might not be open next week. So what would you suggest?
You know, the DNR webpage is kept up to date to the minute. So you can certainly go to dnr.wi.gov and check there. You can type in parks. We do have a map of what's open and then a separate map of what's closed, as well as all the properties listed. So I would certainly encourage folks to go there. I know that also if you're looking to just, as tourism puts it, dream now, travel later, you can go to Travel Wisconsin. They're pointing back to some of the web pages with the accurate information as well. But they've got a ton of information to kind of keep us excited about getting back out to state park and forest and trail properties once the spread of the pandemic slows and we can get back outside. So plan your trip now and travel later.
Missy, thank you so much for joining us and stay well.
You too. Thanks, Kate.
Missy Van Landit is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. It's part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a Wisconsin story that answers a listener's question about science research.
In the last decade, scientists have made incredible strides in understanding the world around us. From taking the first image of a black hole to unearthing new fossils that better map the human family tree, these discoveries are often awe-inspiring. In our next installment of Wisconsin, WPR's Jenny Peek heads to the lab to get a closer look at one of those discoveries, the gene editing tool CRISPR.
On a recent afternoon in the Saha lab, PhD candidate Nicole Piscopo put a petri dish of cells underneath a high-powered microscope. The cells, which were gene edited to include a gene from sea anemones, were glowing red.
So these cells are human melanoma, and then the part of them that glows red is the nucleus. These are a human cancer line that have been gene edited to fluoresce red.
Engineering these cells to light up enables Piscopo to more easily count the number of cancer cells that are present in her samples. Like this experiment, the Saha Lab at UW-Madison is at the forefront of engineering cell and gene therapies using CRISPR, a powerful tool for editing genomes, it lets researchers alter stretches of DNA and modify gene function. It's a big deal, lab lead Chris Saha says.
I think it's the most exciting development in bioengineering over the last decade.
But what exactly does CRISPR do?
CRISPR is a tool to change the letters of DNA that encodes the genetics of every cell in your body.
With the power to edit genes, CRISPR can be used to understand and treat genetic diseases, correcting mutations that cause ailments.
One example of a misspelling is a single change of a letter in the DNA that leads to sickle cell disease. One of the thoughts behind a therapy for sickle cell disease is to be able to change that single letter in the genome to a healthy version of that letter.
Okay, so CRISPR is a really powerful tool, but what is it made out of?
It's just protein and it's just nucleic acids, specifically RNA.
According to Saha, that concoction is able to go into a gene and change whatever is wrong with it, in theory, editing it to become healthy. This exploration of CRISPR was sparked by a question Wisconsin received from Jack Sims of Madison. After hearing a story about the technology and recognizing its potential, he wanted to know if any CRISPR or gene editing research was taking place at UW. In came Saha and his lab, who walked us through the science as well as how UW-Madison is pushing the envelope in the world of gene editing. One specific thing the Saha lab is using CRISPR for is to engineer new types of cells to fight cancer.
So there are now two T-cell therapies, immunotherapies for cancer that have been approved by the FDA. We are looking to try adding additional layers of genomic edits using CRISPR. There's just a lot of really exciting potential there in reprogramming and rewiring your immune system to better sense and kill cancer.
And CRISPR can be used in way more than just humans, Saha explains. From breeding a more drought-resistant crop to genetically engineering a mosquito capable of wiping out infectious diseases such as malaria, the possibilities seem endless, and UW-Madison is at the cutting edge. Saha says since he arrived at UW-Madison 7 years ago, CRISPR research has gone from its infancy to being a core part of science curriculum across the university.
It is being adopted and taught such that the next generation of practitioners learn from my mistakes and our mistakes, but also have the opportunity to make it even more precise and more powerful.
This story by Jenny Peek came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future story. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. You know, weekends don't feel like weekends as they used to exist before the pandemic. It's hard to get out and about, so we could use your help during this time. What subject could we explore for Wisconsin Weekend that could take us to all corners of the state? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend. We'd love to hear from you. Find out what you want to explore. Reach out to us anytime at ideas@WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.